The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We stand on the biblical truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are endowed by Him with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
Ahoy, and good morning, esteemed professors.
They can't take boats or something? Or
No, I guess they could, but...
Then they wouldn't be in a trivia question, though. Yeah,
that's true. That was Yosemite Sam.
I think you got the wrong play, Ed. Yeah. Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. It's Friday, June the 5th, 2026. I'm Tim Wildman, and in studio with me are Professors J.J. Jasper.
Good to be here.
And Jonathan Coker.
I don't know if I'd call myself a professor just yet.
You're a visiting professor.
Visiting, okay.
There you go.
Like a visiting angel, you know?
Okay.
You're in
okay.
that category.
Okay.
And Jonathan is a John Wayne aficionado. He is a true John Wayne expert.
That's right. So he's going to bring it today on one of his questions, I know.
Nope.
No John Wayne questions?
I didn't.
You ran out of them.
I ran out of them. I didn't want to be.
Well, you got a Western question?
I have some American history questions.
Okay, All right, that'll work.
I didn't want to be considered one-dimensional. So
I like that. Like these actors, they get stuck in a role.
Right.
Well, you don't want to be stereotyped.
Right, exactly.
There.
Exactly.
JJ, what you got over there?
Why do banks have windows in their drive-thru?
Why do banks? She lived next door to me when I was growing up.
Why do banks? Yeah. Why do banks?
Oh, why do banks?
Why do banks have windows in their drive-thru? And so you can look in and see the real owner of your car.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Painful.
All right,
it's good and a little painful.
Trivia Friday it is on American Family Radio. You're eligible to call in and be on the air with us and ask a question and answer if you haven't been on in the last 8 weeks. We have an 8-week waiting period between on-air appearances. The phone number to call in and ask trivia, answer one of ours, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Again, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
JJ, what kind of ground rules, don't we?
Yes, we do. You have to be an American citizen to be able to
show your papers.
Yeah, and have a no. We have one thing that we've got is a mystery question. We're each going to offer three questions out of these original 9 questions. If you happen to land on it. On a mystery question, answer it correctly, you're going to hear this sound. The beloved cowbell
shall ring.
And you're going to win a newly designed Learning University T-shirt. It's got a seal like you would have on a university with some different things that are pertinent to the show. Real nice looking T-shirt, and it's summer, so it's T-shirt weather.
And our school just came into some NLI money.
NIL
money. And so we're going to upgrade our sports teams.
That's right.
Here,
so we can offer a nicer shirt.
Yeah,
and with a seal on it.
Yeah. So we're.
And not a barking seal clapping
our
hands and bouncing a beach ball in its nose. I'm talking about the seal that you see on prestigious universities.
Yes. We have some real wealthy alumni who've contributed to
there
our NIL.
There you go.
Fund.
And the so boosters. We need those boosters.
We're going to buy some players like everybody else.
Yeah.
All right. You have to be 11 years old or older, right?
That's right.
We tried talking to 5-year-olds here on Trivia Friday, and although we love them dearly, it's just hard to communicate.
It is.
We have a rule, 11 years old or older, you call in and be on the air with us. Has the table been set?
I think we're ready.
Okay. I believe so.
Go ahead, Jonathan. What you got there, my friend?
All right. So, like I mentioned earlier, I've got my first 3 questions at least are are going to be American history questions.
All right. And if it's the 250th anniversary of our country, right?
Happy birthday, USA.
Glad, right. glad so, you brought that
so,
up.
So good I did trivia.
I did want to say just real quick, we just recently celebrated Memorial Day.
Yes, we did.
Tomorrow, if you were unaware, is the 82nd anniversary of D-Day, where
That's
the
right.
U.S. forces invaded Normandy, France.
That's right.
And then, as you mentioned, the 250th
Coming
anniversary is this
4th.
Year. So if you're listening, I just hope you're like me and you're just very thankful for the country that you live in.
Amen, brother.
It's the greatest country Amen. In the world.
Yes.
Has
Warts
its problems. Off. Yes. Mm-hmm. Not perfect, but I'm
but
very thankful.
Perfect.
Yes. I'm very thankful yeah. to say that I live in the United States Amen. Of America. So, all right.
Let's all Abby, stand put our hands
yeah.
up. Our
yeah, I got my hand up my heart.
You're making we me should, feel red, white, yeah. and blue right here, my friend.
Yes.
So, well, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
All right, so first three questions, American history. Here we go. Question one, what Native American tribe is most credited with the nickname Code Talkers during World War II? What Native American tribe is most credited with the nickname Code Talkers during World War II?
A real event, and there was even a movie about that.
That's right. That's right. All right, question two, what were the first battles of the American Revolution? So their location doesn't have to be the state, but if you know, you know. What were the first battles of the American Revolution?
Okay. Go ahead.
Question three.
Were they in the same state?
Can yes, I sir.
You? Okay.
Yes, sir. Question three. Which president was born on the 4th of July? There's only one. He was born on the 4th of July.
By the way, those battles wouldn't have been in states yet.
Well, very
but they,
true.
But they later became
That's right.
It
yes,
later
sir.
Became a state. What was your third question? I'm sorry.
Which president was born on the 4th of July? He's the only president that was born on the 4th
wow.
of July.
Okay.
All right, here's what I've got.
I'll tell you what. Excuse me, JJ.
Yes.
If somebody knows the answer to that question and they don't have to go look it up or ask somebody else, they just know it because of their knowledge, then we will send them an AFR Trivia Friday Learning University T-shirt.
Wow.
Okay.
So that we're going to throw that in as a bonus. If
Wonderful.
You know the answer to Jonathan's question, what was the only president, who was the only president born on the 4th of July, we'll send you this AFR
now,
Trivia.
Now, I know two presidents died on the 4th of July.
Three.
Three presidents died on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And two were like big rivals or whatever throughout their life.
Two died on the same day. It was John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Yep.
They died within hours of each
right.
other.
That's the
and
story
they
I
were
was
the
thinking
two
about.
That were kind of, they butt heads with each other. But the other one was James Madison.
Yeah. And his wife, man, I love those little cupcakes and things that
yeah,
she came up with.
She was quite the baker.
Golly, really.
You know, she's a homemaker. She was a homemaker.
Yes, she was.
Not a homewrecker. She was a homemaker.
Here's what I've got. First question from the Bible. I'm looking for the longest chapter in the Bible. Go ahead and give you a hint. It's in Psalms, and the theme is on the importance of God's Word. The focus is on the Word of God. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Which psalm is it? Second question, from 1916 to 1938,
yep.
what U.S. coin featured a buffalo on the back of the coin? From 1916 to 1938, what U.S. coin had a buffalo on the back of the coin?
Mm-hmm.
Third question, how many ribs does the typical human body have? And I guess for Tim Wildman's sake, I need to say, under normal circumstances.
Under normal circumstances, how many ribs you running right there?
How many ribs does the typical human body have? Do you know offhand, Tim?
I don't know for certain.
Yeah.
I think I know.
How about you, Jonathan?
I don't think I know.
Because I was surprised by this number, and I thought, you think by now I would know things like that?
Yeah.
I know how many femur bones and things
I
got.
I just know if you bruise one, you know it.
Yeah.
You know
you
it.
Definitely you, know that.
If you break some ribs.
All right, here we go. Here are my three questions. Number one, what is the number one use of soybeans? Most of us in America see soybeans everywhere we go, mm-hmm. all day, every day, unless you live in New York City, I guess, or Los Angeles. But everywhere else, there's soybeans out there in the field. Well, What's the number one use of soybeans?
Here's the deal. Question. Are you talking fermented or non-fermented? Because I'm asking for a friend.
It says the boy from Kentucky. They're the revenuers. All right, number two. I always have a baby boomer question, or I try to. In the 1960s, all American girls wanted these two dolls. What named them? All right.
Good.
Okay. In the 1960s, all American girls wanted these two dolls. Name them. And number three, what are the two most visited tourist sites in the United States? And I'm not talking about a city. So don't say Atlanta or Chicago or New York. No, I'm talking about specific sites. Now, they may be within a city, but they're specific tourist sites. Mm-hmm. What are the two most visited tourist sites in all of the United States?
That's a good question.
Yep. Hey, your 1960s questions you had, I saw a little thing pop up on my phone. It said, hey, I just want you to know, my sister said the brownies are done from her Easy Bake Oven from 1969. So if you want a bite of that brownie,
they're finally done.
Hey, that was one of my first lessons in patience, because four of us kids, Mike, me, Kelly, and Karen, they got an Easy Bake Oven, and we were waiting for them to bake that three-layered cake or whatever it was. And I said, then it dawned on me, if you're cooking something with a light bulb, that's when I realized I might have ADHD and my patience.
You can watch a couple of TV shows and come back and be not worried about it smoking.
You're not going to burn the brownies. And from 1969 to now, hey, ding, they're ready.
That Easy Bake Oven, that was very popular back in the day.
Yeah.
All right, Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right, first we're going to go to Charlene from North Carolina.
Okay.
Charlene, you're on Trivia Friday. Thanks for calling.
You said thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Hi, Charlene. Hey, you may want to take us off of Bluetooth or whatever's going on. You'll be able to hear us better. We can barely hear you.
Is that better?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, gotcha. My husband's got me so confused, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, we always get blamed for everything.
Yeah.
My wife says the same thing.
You know, and that goes back to the Bible. The husband you gave me, Lord, it was his fault. Hey, Charlene, ask, answer, or do both.
Well, my husband says both, but I want to answer Psalms. He's driving me crazy.
He wants me to be on today.
Listen, I have a marriage counselor number right here, Charlene. Y'all can just talk to him. All right, no, go ahead, Charlene. What do you want to ask, answer, or both?
Both.
Okay, which one do you want to ask? Which one do you want to answer?
The answer, the Psalms.
Here's the question. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's in the Psalms. Most of the focus is on the importance and value of God's Word. What's the answer, Charlene?
119.
Psalm 119.
All right.
Good job.
How'd you know that, Charlene?
I did. I read it years ago. I was going...
Okay.
Didn't hear no bells and no thinking going on. What you heard?
Yeah, didn't hear any cowbell. Yeah. Hey, what's your husband's first name?
You know, there's about a million people sitting in the back seat, right, Charlene? Right now.
No, it's just the two of us on the way to Gatlinburg.
Okay. Oh, well, have fun in Gatlinburg. What's your husband's first name?
Herman.
Herman. All right, Herman, we're going to put you in timeout.
Yeah, Herman, you're going
to
be in trouble, brother.
Charlene, answer, are you going to be sleeping on the couch? let me say something about Psalm 119. So it just talks about the precepts, God's law, God's word, and it just keeps going over and over, talking about, the importance, it's time-tested, how important it is to apply it, to obey the word. And sometimes when I'm reading Psalm 119, I like to, instead of, because I think they're kind of getting a little tired of saying the word, so they'll say precepts, the principles, the law. And if you insert Bible in there, the Bible is more valuable than silver or gold.
Yeah.
The Bible will give you wisdom. The Bible, I'll put the Bible in there. Every time I see that, it says, yeah, you'll be wiser than your enemies. Mm-hmm. And you'll, all
Amen.
These. And it's got in there too, where King David from Psalm 119, 9 through 11 says, how can a young man stay pure? I mean, think about it. Even in this culture, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You get in God's word, allow his word to get in you, it'll chase off doubt, fear, and it'll give
That's
you
right.
strength to resist temptation.
Amen.
Hey, Charlene, what's your question for us?
I'm going to let my husband ask because it's his question.
Go ahead, Herman.
What makes a bluebird's feathers blue?
What makes a bluebird feathers a bluebird's feathers blue?
Oh, that's everybody knows that's creatine.
Is it creatine?
No, I don't. Creosote. No, I don't know. I have no idea. No, you guys know anything about birds?
Yeah, that's what you call shooting from the hip right there.
That's
what,
exactly right.
Shooting from the hip.
What, bird shot.
What makes bluebirds?
Well, maybe their diet. Maybe they were eating a lot of blueberries.
Blueberries?
Yeah. I'm going to say eating blueberries. What about you guys?
I don't know.
Moods affect
like the bird, mood ring.
Like the mood ring.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. True. I mean, you can read about it.
And so they're happier than most birds.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with, you know, the different moods that a bird would have.
Tim says mood swings. So I say blueberries. Jonathan?
Jonathan has no clue.
I have no idea.
Go ahead, Charlene. And I mean,
Herman?
It's not a mood swing. It's not a mood ring that they wear. Their vibrant blue color is caused by structural coloration, a fascinating trick of physics involving microscopic air pockets and pigments.
And y'all thought we'd know that?
Yeah, you know that was right on the tip of my tongue, but I just held back.
That was my husband's question.
You got, so you got pigments and what now? Pygmies and what?
Pigments. Their vibrant blue color is caused by structural coloration, a fascinating trick of physics involving microscopic and air pockets.
You know, I saw David Copperfield. David Copperfield did that one time.
Yes, he did.
And it was amazing
Without
to watch.
Without using microscopic
Thank you there.
Physics. Thank y'all.
Well, we need to. Charlene and Herman, they got how much more longer are they going to be in the car together
I don't
right
know.
There?
It sounds like they've been in there a while together.
They might want to get on with the vacation.
They gave the honeymoon.
Turn around and go back home.
They gave the honeymooners a run for their money. You remember right. Jackie Gleason and his
Yeah,
wife.
Oh, yeah. All right, you're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. Tim, Jonathan, and JJ, back to the phones. Who's next, Jonathan?
All right, we're going to go to Oklahoma where Mike is calling. Mike, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, good morning, professors.
Hey, good morning, brother Mike. Thanks for calling from Oklahoma. Have you been on before, right?
Yes, in the past. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, listen, thanks for calling again. You want to ask, answer, or both today, Mike?
I'd like to try both.
Okay, which one do you want to answer?
How about the first battle of the Revolutionary War?
There we go.
Go ahead, Jonathan.
All
ask that question again.
Yeah. Here's my question. What were the first battles of the American Revolution?
You want two?
Yes, sir.
Okay, two.
There's two. Mike, do you know the answer?
Okay. Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be the Battle of Lexington and Concord.
That is correct.
Yes. Hey, yes. Listen to that.
Oh, that's the mystery question.
That's right.
Go.
That was the mystery
so
question.
So, brother Mike, you got a Learning University T-shirt coming your way right in time for graduation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. People get emotional when they get this thing because it's just...
It's life-changing.
It's life-changing.
You can wear it to church. You can wear it to a wedding. I mean, everybody, you know, casual Friday, you'll
be you
right
can cut
home.
The sleeves off and, you know.
Wear it to the gym.
Wear it to Walmart, you know.
So third edition.
Anyway, we're going to send that your way, so don't hang up after we get through the call. We got to get your address so we can mail this to you, Mike.
Would that be the third edition? Third edition
yeah,
T-shirt?
Yes, sir.
It sure is.
Yes,
you're
third
edition.
That's right.
Sure
third
is.
Edition. That's right, Mike. You've been with us a long time.
Right. London University T-shirt 3.0.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, what's your question for us?
Okay, question for you guys. What is the world largest building in the world by usable volume?
Okay, don't say anything. We're going to talk amongst ourselves here before we answer.
And who owns it? Yeah.
Okay, so the largest building in the world, and who owns it?
I'm going to say...
by volume, usable volume, and
usable.
If you know it,
I've got some usable volume at home, but I thought that was like WD-40, isn't it?
Right. That's one way to look
at it. Okay, so go ahead, JJ.
I'm going to say Dubai, the building, tall building in Dubai.
Don't say anything,
but
Mike.
We're just talking among ourselves.
Probably wrong, but I was thinking at one time China had like one of the tallest ones, but I could be way off. It could be what JJ said.
China's a big country, guessing. Johnson. You're probably going to have to narrow that answer down a little bit.
I don't know. Tokyo, maybe. Okay. I don't know. That's Japan, though.
Tokyo,
see,
Japan.
I don't know any.
Yeah.
If it's outside of the United States.
Asian countries a little bit confused there. There's a difference between Japanese food and Chinese food. Japanese language and Mandarin.
I'm sorry.
But I'm with you. I'm on your level. I'm just trying to help you out there. What was okay, so the answer to JJ is talking about the tallest building in the world, which is in Dubai. And
but now when he's saying usable, like does it have offices and everything, or is it just like where people live there? That might throw me off.
We'll go.
It used to be in Chicago.
I don't know.
Chicago. It used to be in New York, then it was in Chicago. But I'm thinking Dubai now.
Go ahead, Mike.
Mike,
what's the answer?
Okay, it's out west. It's the it's owned by the Boeing Corporation. It's the Everett Factory in Everett, Washington, Boeing Company. Now take a guess at the 472 million cubic feet. With a footprint that covers nearly 100 acres.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wait, 100
building acres. In the world.
Wow. Okay, so what we're talking, I think I drove by that was I was in the Seattle area. Is it Seattle, Tacoma? And Boeing was there, and they make, that's where they make the jets, right? So, I mean.
That's right.
That's where the hangars are. Is that what you call those things?
Yeah.
But I guess they're considered buildings, but they're massive. Oh, okay, so that's where, where they're constructing the jets, that's where you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the Everett Washington factory.
Everett Washington. Yeah.
Now listen to what Mike's saying. Yep. If you know somebody that has a huge, huge farm, they've got 100 acres, that's the ground floor. That's the first floor of it. 100 acres.
You're gonna
and
have
it
to,
just goes on up from there.
You're gonna have to have more than one women's room. I'm gonna tell you right now. You know, in a building of that size,
you think in practical terms,
you better have two for one, right there.
It's large enough. It's large enough that the entire Disney park could fit inside of it.
Oh
wow!
Wow!
Huh?
That's
imagine the air conditioning
right
bill on that thing.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. Mike, thanks so much.
Hey, wait. Stay on the line.
Stay on the line, Mike. I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
All right. Yeah, I'm almost certain. I know I drove by the, you could see from the interstate, the Boeing plant
right
there in the Seattle area. The one time I was out there, and I remember going, wow, look at the size of that building. So maybe that was it. They also got some pretty good trees, pretty good sized trees out that way,
true.
Too.
Yeah.
I remember I traveled out there from Seattle to Canada, Canadian border, and I got back home and I told everybody here in Mississippi, I said, we only think we know what trees are.
Yeah, you can drive through
our little pine trees
yeah.
are dwarfed by those monsters out there in the Northwest. We'll be back momentarily.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
There is within each of us a desire to be a success in life. It is a desire which God placed within us. Too many of us find our efforts towards success frustrated. This need not be the case. Success is indeed within reach of every person. One way to succeed, and by far the easiest, is to never try. Now, that statement may seem a little strange, but if you'll study it for a moment, you will see the validity of it. Never attempt anything, and you will never fail. Success will be automatic, even guaranteed. The world is full of people who never tried. They set their goals so low that they could not miss. They achieved their success early and easy. I knew a man once who was a great success, at least in his own eyes, as a member of his church. He came and joined and never came back until his funeral. He set his goal low and reached it quick and easy. It takes no great effort to succeed when one's goal is low, and a person can pat himself on the back while commending himself for great success. You'd be surprised at the number of people who have followed this easy route to success. But still, another way to be successful is to try half-heartedly. This is, of course, the best route open to those who wish to get out cheap while maintaining their self-respect. They can say, "I tried," and they did do that. They tried. They succeeded in trying. There were those who laughed at Thomas Edison when he began working toward developing an electric light. They told Edison that it couldn't be done because they had already tried it, and they had. And for the most part, they were well-respected men in their profession and well-educated. But they laughed at Edison. But Edison wasn't satisfied with a half-hearted effort. He set his goal a little higher. Now, the third route toward success is to be serious. It was said once by John Mark concerning Jesus that when someone made a certain remark to the Galilean that he, quote, paid no attention to them. What a grand statement. What a terrific statement. When those about him were trying to get Jesus to lower his goals, his ideals, his ambitions, he paid no attention to them. The person who is serious about success will pay no attention to the prophets of doom. Now, this path toward success isn't easy and is often very disappointing. It is difficult sometimes to keep our goals high and not listen to the words of the world. People laughed at Edison, called him a fool for trying seriously. But they don't laugh at him now when they flip the light switch. People also laughed at Christ, but only foolish people laugh at him today. The all-important question is this: what do we mean by success? Success by whose standards? God is the final judge over our success, and often we may be a failure in everyone else's eyes except His. When a person has done the best he can do and remained true to the best he has known, then in God's eyes, he is a success. That's the reason I say that success is within reach of everyone, even you.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we are announcing two tours coming up in 2027, March of 2027. We're going to Greece and we're going to Italy. The Greece tour we call the Footsteps of Paul, and you're going to follow the footsteps of St. Paul in the country of Greece. And then the Italian tour, the tour of Italy, Venice, Florence, Pisa, Rome, we're calling the Make Lasagna Great Again Tour. And these are coming up in March of 2027. And if you want to read all about them, the itinerary, the cost, everything you need to know about these tours coming up in March of Greece and Italy, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net. We're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of good fellowship, and see some of the most historic and iconic sites in the world.
Beloved, we are now children of God, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when Christ appears, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as Christ is pure. 1 John 3, 2, and 3.
American Family Radio.
Yogi Bear is smarter than the average bear. Yogi Bear is always in the ranger's hair. At the picnic table you will find him there. Stuffing down more goodies than the average bear. He will sleep till noon, but
there you go. Is that Hanna-Barbera, 1960s?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes me hungry for a picnic basket.
Hey, boo-boo. Huh? You know
what I'm talking about? Jonathan, you know what I'm talking about?
Hey, boo-boo.
Now, before that, we were hearing a radio spot about going to Greece and going to Italy. And on the Italy thing, it said the name of that tour is Making Lasagna. Great Again Tour. Jonathan, between us, who I wonder whose idea that was.
I don't know. I might have a guess. On
that is a fun name for a tour.
Yeah, yeah. We thought we'd, we'll make lasagna great again. That's our goal. And so I think that's a worthwhile.
When I heard that, I said, there's no doubt in my mind who came up with that.
Yeah.
All right, Trivia sure. Friday it is on American Family Radio, also known as
Learning University.
We're going to repeat our questions right here and then get back to the phones. We have a lot of folks who've called in to be on Trivia Friday on Learning University, and we're going to get back to those. Let's repeat our questions that have
heretofore
gone unanswered. Go ahead, Jonathan.
All right. Question one, what Native American tribe is most credited with the nickname Code Talkers during World War II? Second question is, which president was born on the 4th of July? Which president was born on the 4th of July? And I had one answered, so I will add one. The rest of my questions are not American history questions. My new question is, what does the term three on the tree referred to in vintage automobiles?
Good question.
What does the term three on the tree refer to?
JJ?
Here's what I've got. First question, from 1916 to 1938, what U.S. coin featured a buffalo on the back of the coin? Second question, how many ribs does the typical human body have under normal circumstances? How many ribs does the typical human body have? Then I'll add one, muscle cars. So what brand were the I need the answer to all three. What brand were the Firebird, Camaro, and Roadrunner? When I say what brand, Ford, Chrysler, what brand was it? So three muscle cars, the Firebird, the Camaro, and the Roadrunner. Which brand were each one of those? They were all three, had different brands.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are my three questions. Number one, what is the number one use of soybeans? What is the number one purpose of soybeans? Number two, in the 1960s, all girls wanted these two dolls. What were they? Name them. And finally, the third question, and I'll give you a little hint here. The question is, what are the top two most visited tourist sites in the United States? And it's not a city. So don't say Miami or New York or whatever. It's not a city. Now, these sites may be within a city, but they're not a city. So the question is, what are the top two most visited tourist sites in the United States? And I will give everybody a hint to narrow this down a little bit. They're both east of the Mississippi.
Oh, that's a good hint.
Okay. They're both east of the Mississippi, these top two tourist sites in all the United States.
Well, rats, that right, ruled out the world's largest ball of yarn in Kansas, because that was, I was kind of leaning
that's
in that direction.
That's a top 10. yeah, you were
well, but who wants something to stand in that long of a line
well, also,
just to see this humongous ball of yarn?
Number 11, just outside the top 10, is the Big Texan Steakhouse in Amarillo.
There you go.
Yeah, now a lot of people have died there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, they have.
There's actually a cemetery out back people don't know about. You try to eat your 72 pounds of steak.
Goodness.
And you don't make it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about, going for broke.
Yeah.
Right there.
But you died with a smile on your face.
You did.
So there's something to be said
you
for
did.
That. That baked potato gets you, because they don't tell you the baked potato is going to look like a loaf of bread. It's like they bring them in on small
72-ounce steak.
Yes.
You eat it, you get it free.
Yeah.
You don't eat it.
You don't, you die.
It eats you.
Okay. Oh, man.
So go ahead, Jonathan. Who's up next?
All right. We're going to Arkansas, and this is a man after my own heart. It says that his name is John Wayne. John
right.
Wayne, welcome to Trivia. John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for calling Trivia, sir. You're 11 years old?
Yes, sir.
And is your name really John Wayne?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, Pilgrim, your parents really did know how to give you a good name, wow, huh?
That, John, that is awesome. I love that. You are my number one.
Yeah.
Or
movie
yeah,
star.
I'm your number one fan. There you go.
There it
That's
is.
What I'm trying to say. All right, John, do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I would like to do both, please.
All right, little Duke, what's your question you want to answer?
Little Duke.
I would like to answer the question about the Toad Talkers.
There we go.
Okay, all right, that's my question. All right, so what Native American tribe is most credited with the nickname Code Talkers during World War II?
That would be the Navajo tribe.
Navajo, that is correct.
Way
Good
to
job.
Go.
Do you have much backstory on that, John?
Just a little bit. So they were brought in during World War II because to utilize like codes to talk between companies, and they were, let's see, it was undecipherable by the enemy. So
right.
It was never, the code was never broken the entire
Why
time.
Why were they using, John, do you know the answer to this? I mean, do you know the background? Can you add anything?
No, not yet.
Okay,
not sure.
Okay.
It was not a written language.
That's right.
And all these things that you could try to hide letters and numbers in a sequence, they would break the code. They had these Navajo guys talking to each other. Nobody knew the language but them.
Oh, wow.
And so some military people found that out, and they said, it's not written down. And so they put a Navajo here, and then they put another one on this
idea.
Island, and it never, ever was cracked.
That's
the code
right.
wasn't cracked.
Yeah.
So pretty
yeah.
remarkable the yeah. contribution the Native Americans and that particular tribe, what they offered.
Yep. Yep.
All right, John Wayne, you got a question for us?
Yes, sir.
Fire away.
How many species of animals does a hunter have to harvest to achieve the North American Super Slam?
Jonathan may know this because he knows all about the Crockett score on deer. How many deer have you killed in your lifetime?
Oh, I can't count. I don't know.
50?
A lot. Probably.
Wait, hold on just a second. Let me have some context for this quiz. This is a hunting question. Mm-hmm. True? Do you understand? Have you?
Yeah,
heard
I know what he's talking about. Yes, sir. So,
okay, so what is it?
The John, what was it called again? The Grand Slam? Is that right? I want to make sure I get that right.
The North American Super Slam.
Super Slam. Okay, so basically, if you're a hunter,
yeah,
I think I'm right on this, John. You correct me if I'm wrong. If you're a hunter and you kill each species in North America,
okay,
it is considered a Super Slam.
Okay.
I think.
Like an elk and this and
that's
that.
Right. Elk, antelope, like any huntable animal in North America, if you kill one of each species, then you are considered.
What, an iguana, does that count?
Maybe.
Is that included in the chain of what you need to knock
I
down?
Well, you I don't think iguanas are.
You don't, and you don't have to use a handgun or anything with a scope. You can use a giant fly swatter for
if you need to
hunting iguanas.
Right.
Yes,
you're going to be this there a while.
Be a good size one.
You're going to. All right, go ahead, John.
What's the answer?
Well, I'm going to guess, just, I don't know. I'm guessing 52. That's my guess.
29.
Right. Name 10 of them, John Wayne. I'll send you a t-shirt. Go.
Whitetail, black bear, pronghorn, mountain lion, Rocky Mountain elk, tule elk, Roosevelt elk, Chiris moose, grizzly bears, Yukon
Okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good enough.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Highly done, buddy. You just got yourself a Learning University T-shirt. Hey, do you like to hunt? Do you go rabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, and get you a deer each year, each winter?
I've gotten 5 of the North American 29.
What have you? What have you got?
I've got the white tail, black bear, pronghorn, mountain lion, and Rocky Mountain elk.
How do you hunt a mountain lion? You just go up where the rocks and things are and what, and follow their trail and just sort of wait?
Dogs?
Well, we use, yeah, dogs.
Yeah. Wow. But you got a bear? That's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, John, I'm going to have to come visit you, brother.
That's right.
You and I are kindred spirits.
Man, that's right. Hey, John Wayne, the
I'm
guy.
Not,
go
I'm
ahead.
I'm feeling about. Huh? That makes me, I'm not. I don't even feel manly at all talking to John Wayne. He's knocked out 5.
And he's only 11.
I've caught a catfish. I mean, I don't know if that counts or not.
It does count. Hey, John Wayne, I know we're kind of milking this, yeah. but Jonathan here in the middle, you'd no kidding, you guys would get along because he does the primitive rifle, like where you put in your black powder. Mm-hmm. He has killed deer with that, and he makes his own knives. He's done that some. Made his own buckskin, so you guys need to get together because you need to take him on a grizzly bear hunt.
Yeah, you need to teach me some of your ways.
Thank you, John Wayne. Appreciate it, my friend. Next up, who's up next?
Next, we're going to Texas, and Dave is on the line. Dave, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Well, thank you very much.
Howdy, Dave.
Howdy.
Hey, Dave, thanks for coming. Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say Learning University has been my favorite source of education heretofore. smarterer and betterer.
Wow, you have been listening.
Man.
Yeah, you've definitely been paying attention. You scored 100 on that test right there.
That's right.
That's right.
Dave,
right.
Thanks for calling, my friend. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
Well, I'd like to do both, and I thought I might try the three on the tree.
There we go.
All right, so that's another one of my questions, Dave. All right, so what does the term three on the tree refer to in vintage cars?
Well, I don't know if I had a vintage car, but my very first car had a three-shift lever on the steering column.
That is
that right?
That's it.
That is
three
correct.
On the tree.
Three on the tree.
Well, Dave, how old are you?
Yeah, 72.
72?
Wow, you don't sound 72.
Huh?
Thank you.
So, describe your what kind of car did you have which had for those who don't know, maybe the younger crowd here,
yeah.
They had the I never drove one of these
manual shift steering column.
You had to three gears, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in reverse was the opposite
three
of first
and reverse.
What'd you say, Dave?
So it was an H. It was three speeds forward and one reverse. It was an H. And my car was a 64 Valiant with a slant six.
Wow. You start right low, and then that's first. You go up, there's a little sweet spot. It's actually neutral. You drop into that, then you go up to second. And then you're pushing in the clutch, you know, for each shift. Then you pull it down to third.
Right.
I had a lot of pickup trucks. Most of
was
them.
Were you guys on the Oregon Trail?
We were on the Oregon Trail. We had beef jerky, and we had
wild Indians out there.
We had brought our own water and some.
Right,
you know,
I've seen the movies.
Yeah.
And they're.
Speaking of that, I would like to say I had a grandma, my grandma who remembered riding on the buckboard of a covered wagon being pulled by oxen, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she also had a private pilot license.
Wow.
Oh, my. What? That was your grandmother?
Yes.
Man.
Dave, I'm right there.
What a change, huh?
I'm right there with you. I lived with my grandmother for 3.5 years, and I finally had the good sense to say, tell me some stories.
Amen.
What was Christmas like? What was your birthday? And she said that her dad would get them up, put them in the wagon. It'd be winter time, so he'd lay some bricks in the fireplace and get them warm, put them at the foot of the wagon for some heat, wrap them up in all these quilts. And we were 10 miles from town. She said they would take off to go to town to get some sugar and some flour, everything else they could just eat what they grew, and get coffee. And then they would have to hurry up and get back because it took them early in the morning while it's still dark, and then it was dark when they came back. The horses knew the way for 10 miles. But if you're going 2 miles an hour, 1 mile an hour, you know. Yeah.
That was where the expression go to town really came from. Remember, some people use that commonly today. Yeah. They say, to describe something, well, he's really going to town on that football field or something, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it goes back to people out of the countryside, go to town to get their stuff, and then come back home.
Yeah, because it was a special occasion.
Talking about cranking the Model T with a hand crank, cranking the
Yeah, that's
tractor,
where that expression comes. Dave, go ahead. What else do you want to say about that?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think my dad, well, Fox talk about cranking the engine, make sure you don't have your thumb wrapped around that handle.
That's right.
It could break it.
She said that people got their arm broke. It's kind of like that top-end compression thing where it's okay, but then if you try to do it, it'll kick back and nearly throw you across the yard. Yeah. Hey, what's your question for
like
us,
like a wrestling
Dave?
Move right there, didn't it?
Yeah.
The way you described it,
well,
AJ?
Well, motorcycles, same thing. We had kickstart motorcycles, and most of the time they do well. Then if you caught them on that top-end compression kind of thing, I'm no mechanic, but you start to give it a little bit of kicking, it almost throw you over the handlebars. I'm not kidding. John, I tell you, it's true.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, what's your question for us, Dave?
Well, in the scriptures, there were at least 7 barren women mentioned who in the Bible who miraculously gave birth to a child later in life. Out of the 7, can you name 5?
Wow. You've got Sarah, you've got Hannah, you've got maybe those Supa or whatever, the ones, the 2 ladies that were saving the Hebrew babies when the king said, kill all the boys, and they lied and said, yeah, they come out too quick and we're not able to, you know, do that, but I don't know about if they were later in their life. But let's see. Can you guys think of anybody else?
You got the Pinta and the Santa Maria.
Doug, you got those two.
You got those two. That's 9 we got right there.
Wait, let's see. You had the one, like, so for Benjamin and Joseph, was she later thinking about?
We're losing our way.
Sorry. What's the answer, Dave?
Well, I do think it's kind of interesting that the 3 first patriarchs their wives were barren, you know, Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel for an extended period of time. But there was also, you mentioned Elizabeth and, like I said, Rebecca and Rachel Jacobs. But there's also, like, Samson's mom, Manoah. She's not named, but it just says Manoah and his wife. There was also the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, so I forgot about Elizabeth. We didn't mention her, but you're right. John the Baptist's mom. That's another one.
Yeah.
Well, that just shows God's favor. And, you know, maybe somebody listening right now that's had trouble with infertility. Boy, there's been a lot of breakthroughs, a lot of answers to prayers and miracles in that regard.
Thank you, Brother Dave. Appreciate hearing from you there in the great state of Texas. You are listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We also call this Learning University. It's Tim with Jonathan and JJ. By the way, we have a lot of our Learning University / Trivia Friday shows cataloged, archived. And so if you're traveling this summer, you want to listen to some of those, You can go to AFR.net, click on podcast, and you'll see the Trivia Friday banner. And we've got shows, a couple years worth of these shows, these trivia shows, there at that website, AFR.net, AFR.net.
Yeah. Here's some more information for you. If you're driving down the road with your 3 on the tree, and it's running a little rough, got a little bit of a miss there, and you ain't got no thing to set your points, you can take a piece of sandpaper and sand the points. That'll get you through. And you can set those points with the cover of a matchbook. So that'll get you by in a pinch. We just want to offer that out sort of for a hike for you today.
Okay, then. All right. Now, what was the...
Jonathan, am I telling you the truth on everybody that?
That's right. That's exactly right. What are you saying?
I heard points.
Points. You had points and plugs.
Yes, points and plugs.
And if your points start going bad on you.
Right.
And you don't, everybody doesn't have the feeler gauge, so no. You can take a piece of sandpaper and sand your points, and then you go, well, I don't know how to set them.
Well.
The thickness of the back when they used to have matchbook covers, you slide that in there, then you're good to go.
If your feeler gauge goes out.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
You know it's only a matter of time before you're on the side of the road. Am I right?
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, well, you can't see as good. You can't pretend.
It's not happening,
food.
But you know that feeler gauge is on its last leg. We've all been there.
That's right.
That's why I'm laughing.
Tim can talk sports and geography. Jonathan can talk hunting, and he and I both can talk cars a little bit.
Who's next, Jonathan?
We're going to go back to Arkansas, and Chris is on the line. Chris, thanks for calling Trivia Friday.
Morning, guys.
Morning. Did you want to ask, answer, or do both, Chris?
Both.
All right.
And I'll go with the coinage.
You go with what now? Which one? The coin?
Coin question.
Oh, the coin question.
Yes, sir.
All right.
From 1916 to 1938, what U.S. coin featured a buffalo on the back of the coin?
That would be the nickel.
That's the nickel. Buffalo nickel. We've all,
I've seen a few of those.
Had a buffalo nickel before.
How much, Chris, do you have those? Do you have some of those?
Yeah, I got a few of them.
Okay. Yep. How much are they worth? $5?
Some of the older ones can be up to $5 to $10 if you got a really rare one that's mint condition. But I hadn't done a whole lot of research on them.
So it was how many years there, JJ?
See, that's the thing. I didn't realize it went back that far. 1916 to 1938. I was a paper boy when I was 12, and I got lots of change every week. And I would get an Indian penny about once a month, and I'd get a buffalo nickel every week. And my dad said, you need to save those, and you need to save those real silver dimes because they're going to be worth something one day. And I kept them in a cigar box, for a little while, and then I just, that
you
ice cream.
Smoking cigars when you were 11?
No, the cigar box was almost like
a man.
No, it was almost like a piece of furniture. Those cigar boxes, man, they were stout, and you'd keep your baseball collecting cards in there, and you kept your change. But that when that ice cream truck came with all those all that little medley playing,
right.
I blew my
changed everything.
I ripped my 401k that I had in the cigar box right there. But I saw a lot of Indian pennies and buffalo nickels, but I never dreamed they quit making them in 1938.
Yeah,
yeah.
Chris, you say you got a little bit of a coin collection.
Oh yeah, I got a little bit, not much.
Yeah. What's your question for us?
So my question for you is also coin related, and it shows how long I've been listening. There is a commemorative coin that was printed in around 2000 that has an Indian on it. Can you name the Indian and maybe even the coinage?
Her name is Sacagawea, and I think it's a $1 piece.
It is.
Way to go, JJ. Yeah. That deserves a hand clap right there. So it is Sacagawea?
Sacagawea. It's a $1 piece, and she really was a real person and made a real contribution, I think, to Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, no, you're right. She aided Lewis and Clark in their expedition, in chronicling the geography of
the West.
Mapping out the West as we're expanding.
Yeah.
So, anything else to add to this, or Chris? Anything else you want to say, brother?
No, I appreciate the show.
Thanks for listening, Chris, for a long time. Thank you for listening. Please tell a friend. And in the summertime, people are a little bit off schedule, but take us with you this weekend and this summer. And thank you for your support for listening to AFR.
All right, thank you, brother Chris. You're listening to Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. I tell you what, instead of jumping to another new call, let's repeat our questions quickly. And that way, when we get back from the break, well, never mind. There's the music right there. I don't think we have time.
Yeah.
JJ, you got any more on Sacagawea?
I tell you what you can do is pop in the clutch. We could spend a little more time talking about that. Because you get out there.
Papa who?
Pop the clutch. You got it down in low. If you're an old farm truck, you might even have granny low.
It's right before your feeler gauge goes out. You
get ready to put a little gas on there. Instead of easing out on the clutch, you just pop the clutch. Man, you can lay rubber for a, you know, for a quarter mile. Yeah. All if you don't care anything about buying new tires, you know.
No, I don't. We'll be back. 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.